Part 1. Chapter 1. Rowan. Rowan McKinnon crouched in an abandoned greenhouse in the rural Pennsylvania darkness, trying not to pee her pants. She'd have taken it a bit easier on the Cabernet tonight if she'd known the party at the old vineyard would include a game of hide-and-seek. The greenhouse was a good hiding place for a botanist. Rowan was wildly curious to see what grew there in the light of day. The clouded glass ceiling was tall and cathedral-shaped, allowing only enough silvery moonlight through to see the place was a mess. Wooden floorboards were warped by moisture and fuzzy with moss. Beneath vented roof panels, little islands of plants overflowed pots to ramble across a maze of tables and benches. Life had flourished and thrived there, despite years of apparent neglect. Rowan felt a pang of kinship. In the darkness outside, someone's scream dissolved into laughter, the sound followed by whoops of triumphant men's voices. The hairs on the back of Rowan's neck involuntarily rose. "Just a game," she murmured, shifting her weight from foot to foot. 4 weeks ago, she'd packed up her two suitcases of belongings and left Cornell to head back to Philadelphia. Philly wasn't home. Nowhere was, really, but Temperance and Frankie were still there. The three of them had been best friends since undergrad, and Rowan needed a quiet place to revise her research manuscript. Only days after she'd defended her dissertation, her department chair had called to report significant complications about her data sets. Suddenly, her world of stable, deliberate plans became a world of roadblocks and uncertainties. She couldn't publish until she did major recalculations and rewrites, and she couldn't apply for worthwhile postdoctoral fellowships until she published. Couldn't recognize herself without that academic lens. Couldn't manage to peel herself off Temperance's couch. Frankie had visited early in the week, unable to entice Rowan out of her funk, even with the promise of Robustelli's cheesesteaks and famous truffle Parmesan fries. Rowan had instead subsisted exclusively on caramel popcorn and cherry soda for days, watching and rewatching David Attenborough's The Private Life of Plants and repotting her small collection of succulents in Temperance's little kitchen. Rowan wondered if Temperance would have still dragged her along tonight if she'd have pantomimed self-care by conspicuously eating a banana or an apple a time or two. Maybe Temperance would have left her alone if she'd managed to change out of her pajamas, at least once. Tonight's revelry was a housewarming party to celebrate the Brady family's new ownership of the property. Temperance was a de facto member of the Brady family. Her older sister Marin was married to one of the Brady sons. Rowan grudgingly found the Bradys charming, but they had big family camaraderie. The kind of overt, playful loudness that came from a lifetime of knowing exactly who your people were. It was a stark, slap-in-the-face contrast to her own lonely childhood. And being there in the midst of it, she felt as conspicuous as a toad on a birthday cake. "Like recognizes like," her mother always used to say. Even as a child, Rowan had been able to infer that like also recognized other. So she'd sipped wine, a lot of it around the bonfire, introverting like a card-carrying professional, until she was unceremoniously opted in to the hide-and-seek game by a determined Temperance and Frankie. Team tag, the Bradys called it, a decades-old tradition at their family gatherings. A handsome older man in a barbecue apron emblazoned with well-seasoned, presumably the Brady patriarch William, had stood on a picnic table to belt out the game's rules for the newcomers. Teams were the Brady family versus non-Bradys. Timed rounds, whoever captures the most members of the other team in 30 minutes wins. Everyone got a little pocket flashlight for safety. They were all branded with Brady Brothers Contracting in typeface straight from the 1980s. Cute. The only family traditions Rowan had were trips to Kmart with Grandma Edie for new shoes before each new school year, and hot cocoa from cheap powdered packets on Christmas Eve. Imagine having an entire game as a tradition, with branded swag. When Rowan had arrived, her eyes had been drawn to the Victorian-style greenhouse on the rise at the top of the property. The glass panes had shone like amethysts in the sunset. But now that she was inside it, the big building had lost its whimsy. The white metal frame instead seemed to hunt.